This is Jones and Keefe.
How much of a leadership role do you see yourself taking this year, in year two? Are you comfortable stepping up and being more of a leader, not just with the offense, but with the team as a whole?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I'm trying to be. I think that's something you got to earn. I think it's something I come in there every day. Work hard, play good in practice. I think that's a big part. You know, take practice seriously. I think the practice translates to the games. It's hard to get, you know, this simulation. It's not basketball. You can't go get shots, open three pointers. You know, you're there's nothing like being in the mix of it with live bullets going. So, try to earn, you know, kind of earn my stripes in practice, and then from there, just try to go on and hopefully win some games. And I think that'll help.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for day two, Patriots training camp, Keefe?
Of course I'm ready for day two, Jones. It is another beautiful day in Foxborough. A little windier could affect the kicking game. That is my my view of things from up here.
Oh, boy.
Windier than yesterday, although it's supposed to be warmer than yesterday as well. But always a good day for football. I think every day is a good day for football. And
day,
here we are.
Lovely, lovely day, although you're right. A bit of wind.
A little wind.
Maybe keeping some of the fans away today, though there was a late-arriving crowd yesterday as they trickle in.
Yeah, no, it's filling up.
Reese said 5,000 plus yesterday.
5,000?
That sounded a touch high to me, but it was a good turnout yesterday,
I don't know what the capacity is. I'm unfamiliar with the capacity of the bleachers.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know that I counted every single person there on the berm on the hill there.
But Reese might have.
But maybe Reese.
No stone unturned here at camp.
So we are here throughout Patriots training camp, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We're presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Day two, we'll get rolling here about 10 minutes from now. They start up at 10:15 in Foxborough. It's also year two for Drake May.
That's right.
Who, if you hear the crowd right now, he's
there
jogging
he is.
Out
here comes
onto
the
practice fields. I feel like yesterday the offense, at least the first team offense, got off to a good start, Keefe. Agree or disagree?
100% agree. Yeah, they looked pretty sharp. That's, you know, one thing that you can look at for a practice where it was helmet and shoulder pads. Today looks like it's just helmets. And, he was pretty sharp, completed all but one of his passes, was looking for Steph Diggs. And then also, comparing it to the second and third operation, it looked way more buttoned up. And, you know, you could argue, hey, it's one training camp practice, just like we did back when it was one OTA.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we have to base it on. So if we were going to point out the fact that Drake May did not look very good that first OTA practice all those weeks ago, we'll point out the fact that, you know what, yesterday he did look good. And hopefully you can stack some good practices on top of each other and go from there.
So I would agree with all that. And, you know, I liked yesterday, not just that Diggs looked healthy. I think we spent a lot of time on that. You know, he was no sleeve on the knee. He was first up in all the drills.
Yeah, that was good.
He was flying around catching stuff in the individual drills. Mm-hmm. And then when you got into team stuff, actual competitive periods, he was the first guy that Drake May was looking to. He caught Drake May's first pass in each competitive period. I like all that. I want to see that continue, right? Like, I'm almost beyond the physical stuff with Steph Diggs, which really was my biggest question mark with him all along.
Yeah.
If he's out here and he's not on a PUP or NFI list and he's out here on day one of training camp, I almost take it as a given he's going to be back week one. Now, is he the same Steph Diggs, you know, post-injury that he was pre-injury? Let's see. Yeah. I don't think you're getting the Buffalo Diggs anymore, but can you get the guy who was in Houston before the injury? We're going to find out. I want to see a continuation of that today, but when I say the offense was good, that's mainly what I'm talking about. May largely looked sharp, could have thrown a pick. Peppers dropped one lob ball over the middle of the field, and the May to Diggs connection was on display right away.
Yeah, no, that's great. I also think, it's like an intangible type of thing, but since Julian Edelman left, what receiver could any of the young receivers kind of look up to, emulate, ask questions about, kind of pick their brain about being in the league? They haven't really had any of those guys. I mean, would you argue like Juju Smith-Schuster or like Nelson Aguilar?
Yeah,
I would say no.
Right, maybe.
You know, like I just think if you're Pop Douglas or if you are any of these young receivers and you see Steph Diggs leading all these drills and you see Steph Diggs, you know, how he lines up on press coverage versus zone coverage versus everything else, that I think is pretty invaluable. Like, I know you have position coaches and those guys should be able to help you out with whatever they can, but I think just talking to Steph Diggs or a player like that who has accomplished what he's accomplished in the league is pretty massive for these guys, and it's something that really none of them have had to this point in their careers. So, that, you know, I like that part of it too. Not just what he was able to do in the 11-on-11s, but even just the position drills where you just have the group of wide receivers, having him in front of that group is pretty important.
Well, Keith, you know me. I'm taking attendance very diligently.
Yeah,
here.
I noticed you've got like a little
through
checking guys off.
All 91 is players
Polk?
Again.
Where's Polk?
I haven't gotten to him yet.
Okay.
But I was getting a little nervous as we were talking about Diggs. I'm like, is he out there? He wasn't, but he just jogged out onto the field.
He's out there.
And again, they
he's
don't
early.
They
have to
well, you know, I mean, talk to Tom Coughlin about that. But yeah, he is out there. Practice starts here in a few moments. But no, I would agree with that. It's good to have a guy who is not just a veteran in the league. You mentioned mm-hmm. Juju and Agholor. I mean, those guys are vets in the league. I mean, Bourne is that. But an actual guy they look at and go,
right,
I should pay attention to what he does. A high-level player in the
yeah.
league. I think that makes a difference. I think it's security for Drake May, to be sure. We'll see how that plays out. So those were the goods from yesterday's practice. The bad, I was reading up on, a lot of different beat writers after the practice. We kind of summarized some of this in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Giardi, Greg Bedard, pretty critical of the offensive line. Andrew Callahan as well. Here's Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, his training camp stock watch, stock up, stock down.
Stock watch, you like that. Stocks.
O-line, and specifically Will Campbell, stock down. He says, Drake May was bothered by pass rushers on multiple occasions during 11-on-11 periods. Will Campbell appeared to be on the scene for a Keon White, quote-unquote, sack. One position to keep an eye on as camp progresses is center. Veteran newcomer Garrett Bradbury got the first crack at starting snaps. But rookie Jared Wilson also mixed in. We talked about that yesterday. Wilson not able to participate in the spring, but he's now healthy and could push for a starting spot. So I'd actually consider that good if he's in the mix for a starting spot at center or left guard. Will Campbell not having a great day on the first day of camp, and the O-line, first team O-line, not having a great day. I think Callahan charted it for four sacks, four would-be sacks yesterday. I mean, that obviously, if we're feeling good about the first-team offense, that would be a negative and something that could clearly hold them back.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, you said they, you know, in that 11-on-11, they're obviously not going to hit Drake May, but there probably would have been at least four sacks during that period. And, you know, that has to be a concern because going into it, back on Tuesday, we tiered all the position groups. And on the very, very bottom tier, we had both offensive line and wide receiver. Well, wide receiver...
Stock
is up for sure for playing stock watch. It goes up, and they also have somebody with the high-end capability of Steph Diggs. The O-line doesn't have that as much as, you know, Onwenu is solid, and there's high hopes for Will Campbell because he was drafted so high. They don't have anybody with the track record of Steph Diggs. So, and on top of that, if Kyle Williams looks pretty good, all right, that easily breaks the tie as to what the worst position group is. So now you go to offensive line, and you're like, all right, how many of these guys do you feel great about? On the one hand, yeah, it's better than it was a year ago, but that doesn't really say much. All you had to do, you drafted a guy high and you signed a free agent. Of course it was going to be better than it was last year. Last year you had like a million different combinations. Guys were moving positions all the time. It was a bit of a mess. This year should be better, but it doesn't mean it's going to be good. It just means it's better than it was last year. So, yeah, I think we knew coming into camp that there was going to be a lot of questions there. You know, what is the five-man formation even going to be? Is there depth? Is there will any of it lead into, like, a strength? Like, would you say, oh, like, the right side's all set? Like, I don't know. Like, I think that's going to be...
I think they all have question marks, honestly.
I think, like, you're right. I was thinking about this today.
Like, Campbell might be a guard. And yeah. he had apparently a rough first day of camp. You know, I would cite the play that Phil Perry did there, where Keon White would have been credited for a sack or probably would have had a sack if it's a game situation. You can't touch these quarterbacks. So he might be a guard. We don't know who the left guard is, right? We don't know. It might be Will Campbell long term, I guess. I don't think he's going to start that
way. Well, no, let's hope not.
We don't know who the left guard is.
Right.
It started out as Cole Strange yesterday. Jared Wilson, the third-round pick out of Georgia, mixed in there. And at center, Garrett Bradbury's the center. The Vikings didn't want him. He was horrific in terms of pass coverage. You highlighted this yesterday.
Yeah.
On Wenu. You know,
I
didn't get the weigh-in yesterday. Did you get the weigh-in? I didn't really notice it. I'll keep an eye on that today.
No, I didn't notice that. I think he'd be the one guy. I wouldn't say that I'm like, oh, he's all set. Don't worry about him. He actually does speak today. So there's going to be a handful of guys that speak after practice.
Good.
Is one of them. We'll see what kind of questions they ask him.
No, I'm probably least concerned with him.
Yeah, I was going to say most confident in him.
The question is he in shape?
And I don't know.
I don't know that we're going to know that. But, right, how invested is he? Is he in shape? If he's not, I'd be really disappointed because part of the reason Vrabel's here is that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah,
like, get guys to care, get guys to pay attention. Mayo obviously skimped on all that. if guys like Onwenu aren't in top flight shape, then that's a bad sign
right.
for Vrabel coming in, ruling with an iron fist and sort of changing that sort of stuff. I expect him to do it. He said everybody is good, checked out well in terms of their physicals and passing the conditioning test. So I'll take him at his word, but let's keep an eye on that. And then Morgan Moses apparently also had a poor day yesterday.
He did not have a very good day. He's a guy that the last couple of years, I think he's missed 6 total games over the last 2 years. Prior to that, he was pretty damn durable. Like he was out there a lot, but he's also, what is he, 34 years old? So let's see. But if you had to do a quick power rank or confidence rankings, not power rankings, confidence rankings.
Okay, not tiers.
I would probably go on Onwenu, Moses, Campbell.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I guess just because I have
faint,
no idea.
That's faint praise.
I have no idea what's going on at left guard. And yeah. So I would probably agree with that, yeah.
I think those guys. And then after that, it's, I don't know, like a City So still here? Like you might drop off to that. Or maybe Wilson even.
No, you know who was more. Getting work at left guard yesterday? Caden Wallace.
Okay. Maybe Caden Wallace. So, I mean, maybe one of those guys emerges. I don't know.
I don't take that as a great sign. When you got Cole Strange and Caden Wallace in the mix there, I don't take that as a great sign.
All right.
So practice is underway. Day 2, training camp. Jones and Keith brought to you by McFarland Energy. A lot of ways you can get in touch. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. It's also your text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Another way you can check us out, chat, and watch on YouTube as well. I meant to bring this up earlier. Drake May on the O-line had a good line. His opening statement yesterday, he's just kind of going through. He's like, oh, we're working on stuff. We're cleaning stuff up, pre-snap communication, blah, blah, blah. He's like, guys made some good plays. And he goes, I thought the guys up front fought. It's hard to block without pads.
Yeah, it's tough.
But I thought they did a good job. And in retrospect, that should have been like the warning sign right away.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's hard to block without pads. Do you put any stock in that? It's like, well, you can't really evaluate the offensive line until pads come on likely Monday.
So it's tough. So like today, you're going to get less of it.
Because yesterday, what are they in today? Shells? Like they're not even in it.
Just hats.
Yeah.
They've got just hats today. Yesterday, they had shoulder pads on. So like if you're blocking, so obviously there's not going to be any like cut blocking or anything like that. But you can kind of simulate it a little bit better yesterday than you can today. But, no, overall, I mean, also, when you're talking about all these beat writers breaking down how the team looked and how the O-line looked, they've also seen a million training camps. Like, they know based off of this, they wasn't very good, right? Like, there's no other way around it. Like, it wasn't a very good start. The only one place to go but up if you're the offensive line. But, yeah, that's the one, that I think, to keep an eye on the most. And then when they do put full pads on, that's going to be the position that we probably is highlighted more than anything else.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how much stock to put in yesterday,
yeah.
But the story coming out of it is the offensive line wasn't very good, and we didn't expect the offensive line to be very good. So
right.
I don't know if there's a,
right.
a confirmation bias going
yeah,
on there.
I know.
But that's some of what to expect from yesterday. By the way, you asked me, I finally caught up on the roster, Keith. You asked me if Jalen Polk is out there. Once again, he is one of the absences here today.
Yeah, he's not going to make the team then.
No.
Like he needs to be out there to make the team.
And apparently,
he needed to be out there and play well and catch some luck. Right? Like I don't think it was a guarantee, even if he had a good camp, that he's going to make the team. But
correct.
If he's out for whatever the reasons are, right, the best ability is availability. So if he's not on the field, then he's going to get left behind.
As far as we could tell, he's still on the team. Like he was here,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
present,
yeah.
He's around. But again, not out there again today, which does not bode well for the guy who was a second round pick a year ago making this squad. If you had to kind of pick one or the other, Keith, a good day and a good camp for the receivers or a bad day for, you know, the O-line, what to you is the bigger story, the bad day or the good day?
I'm going half full on this.
Okay, I would too.
I'm going wide outs, especially the nature of it, right?
You need the receiver more than you need the O-line, I think.
Yeah.
Drake May needs it more.
And we can say this every time too. Like I just think it's tougher for those guys. Not to give them an excuse. They still need to, you know, perform better. But there is sort of just the nature of these drills. You're not going full speed. You know, get to joint practices. I think then we can kind of highlight on the O-line a little bit more. But, no, I choose to look at Steph Diggs' health and then also Kyle Williams making a play on Christian Gonzalez. Right? Like, I think those things stand out to me more. Drake May needs all the help he can get, clearly. But those two new additions at receiver, we kind of had fingers crossed on. The Patriots have not drafted well at that position, and I know it wasn't Vrabel prior to this year, but they haven't drafted well, so you have like a little PTSD anytime they bring in a rookie receiver. Like, and what is this guy going to be?
And Vrabel, I mean, they did have A.J. Brown in Tennessee, but there were a lot of misses at receiver,
too. Sure.
How much he was in the mix for that,
we don't really
know, but he doesn't have a great track record either.
No, but that was a good sign. Like, if you told me that Drake May's two leading receivers this year are new to the team, like, that's a great sign. So, and then Diggs is healthy, and then just the amount of stuff he was able to do yesterday, awesome. I mean, a month ago, we were literally asking, like, oh, he should be back for week five, right? They play the Bills week five, he'll be back. It's like, how about he's already their best guy today,
right?
So I look at that as yesterday overall was a good day.
617-779-7937. I would agree with that. Like, I got to pick one or the other. Was it a better day or a worse day? I think it's better that the receivers stood out. And it doesn't mean it's not a big deal the O-line stunk, but I think it's a bigger deal that Stephon Diggs looks healthy and could be in line for a huge season in year two with Drake May. I think that's the thing he needs the most, even more than an offensive line. You guys can discuss again on the phones and the text line. We'll be talking Red Sox on the show as well.
Woof!
Rob Bradford.
What a game.
Going to join us at 11:30. That was quite a roller coaster last
wild night,
Keith.
Yeah. Sam, that was kind of like the season.
Yeah.
Oh, that really was the season in a nutshell.
These last couple of series have been just slogs. The wins have kind of come out of nowhere in both of the games. The losses feel very inevitable. So I still don't know where the Red Sox sit. We'll get to them with Bradfo when he joins us at 11:30. We'll revisit some of Sam Kennedy this morning on the Greg Hill Show. A couple interesting answers there. And, of course, another report on the Red Sox and what they're doing at the deadline from ESPN. We'll get to that. We got a key for madness for you at 12:45 live from Gillette Stadium, day two of Patriots training camp. Let's continue to discuss Stephon Diggs, our expectations for him in his first year as a Patriot, right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
No, I was told by people that he was ready to go. Full go. They're going to have to, ramp him up, which they should be doing. But yeah, I would say just in from 10,000 feet, that Stephon Diggs, 9 months after tearing his ACL, 8 months after surgery, that he is fully go on day one of Patriots training camp. It's pretty stunning to me. He must be a freak, because to be ready like this at his age, not many people can do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
They'll play that at Gillette this year.
They should.
The Drake May remix.
Great work by Nick.
Yep.
Nick's got nothing but downtime back there.
Just eating bagels.
In Brighton, just woofing bagels.
Having the time
of his life.
He's like,
oh, let me try the salmon cream cheese. Oh, how about the cream cheese with chive?
That's
nice. What's this bagel over here? Oh, everything? Sesame? Sure.
Living it up.
Seriously. So
we're not going to see this guy for like a month.
No, we really won't. So he took the liberty to throw that together. Look, we all have our verbal crutches.
Not me.
Who among us does it? Oh, not you. I was about to say
I definitely do. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is, because then I'll just think about it all the
Mine's
time.
Mine's
Is it?
You know.
There's a podcast I listen to that drives me nuts, that one of the people on the podcast says that like all the time.
You know?
Yes. Oh, everything is you know.
Interesting.
And so when people say that to me, I go, yeah, I do know. Right. And then they're like, what? Because like, they don't even realize they're saying it.
I don't realize I'm saying it. I know.
Like, you know? I'm like, yeah.
It's like,
no,
Larry,
I do know.
Like Larry with Leon. He's like, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying.
I do know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the guy that's pointed out that I say jump in line for the phones.
Oh, jump in line.
That's gotten in my head.
Yeah.
Along with the Mac and Goo Movie Club. That's
dive in line.
Yeah, I'm like, get in line.
Oh, Mac and Goo Movie Club was pissed yesterday at Nick.
Why is that?
They said Mike Lieberthal, not a random player.
Ooh.
He is a household name, Mike Lieberthal.
That is
fired at Nick.
Right, is his number retired?
Oh, it might be.
His number's retired?
No, I don't know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's there forever.
I don't think so, but he was there a long time.
Yeah.
So Nick's going to get back in the lab, put the bagels down, get a new random player for today.
Yeah,
get a true random player. No, but then Nick goes crazy. So now Nick's going to get defensive, and Nick's going to pick a guy that played like four major league games that nobody's ever heard of.
But you can thank yourself for bringing that up, because that's what we're going to have to deal with.
That's
on you. So you heard there Greg Bedard on Steph Diggs. Very healthy, looks very healthy, way ahead of schedule. You know who's not, Keith?
Who's not?
Absent today. I must admit, when I was going through the roster today, it takes a minute with a fine-tooth comb.
Now that they're all out there stretching together, they're all on one field, it's easier to get a good look at
it. Now I got it. So I told you no Jalen Polk. Of course, nobody who's on PUP like Mac Hollins, Austin Hooper, those guys aren't out there. But absent today, he was on an FI, He was at camp yesterday, absent today, according to Mark Daniels and my research as well with binoculars.
You're confirming Mark Daniels?
Yes. Okay. Carlton Davis not out there.
You don't know what's going on there. I mean, the NFI has already got a layer of intrigue to it, right? Like non-football injury. Like, all right, what is it? They don't really
how'd you,
tell you.
How'd you do it? You did it away from the facility. How'd you do it? What is it?
You weren't at OTAs. We saw you on the jet skis, which looked like cars. May have fooled some people into thinking they were cars in the water. They weren't. Stupid if you ever thought that.
That's really dumb.
But then Vrabel's update on Tuesday was like, hey, he'll be here. And then he is. Now he's not. So, yeah, that's one to keep an eye on because we talk about the offensive line being the weakest position. Well, the strongest position is corner if you have Davis because you have Gonzalez. And then if you have him, that's as good of a duo in the league as there probably is. But what's going on? Like, that's a good question for the coach, I guess, because you're going to need him this year.
Well, Vrabel doesn't talk again until tomorrow. No media availability with Vrabel today, but we'll get some of that tomorrow. Maybe we'll get an update on Polk as well. Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, has some context on Jalen Polk.
All right, let's hear it.
He says, I'm told Polk passed his initial physical.
Nice.
Then later had what is considered minor muscle tightness.
Oh,
so
boy.
Playing it cautious. They're like, anything tight there? Stay away. Just stay away from the tip. Don't eat up any rice. You got some, what, your casserole store?
I think I could go.
No.
Don't rush back.
Don't pull anything.
Take all the time you need.
You stay out of there. You're sore.
I should probably play.
I could go, coach. So he passes physical and then had some tightness?
Yeah, it must have been a pretty rigorous physical.
Seriously.
You know?
It wasn't
a turn your head and cough situation. I guess it was a little bit more intense than that. So he hurt himself during the physical is another way of looking at it.
Yep, correct.
He passed the physical, but then
Then woke up the next day.
Boy, my dogs are barking.
Legs just barking at him like you read about.
I guess.
So I'm less
worried about him just because I don't think he factors into the team.
Yeah, I don't think he makes the team. It's an interesting story to go from a guy who I didn't love the draft pick when it was made.
No.
But then you see some of the feedback from camp. You see, I thought he looked good in the preseason games. Like, I thought he was active and involved in the preseason games. I thought he seemed like he had good chemistry with May in those games, which tells you how irrelevant, I guess, preseason games are.
Self-proclaimed best hands in the league.
I didn't love that when he said it.
All right.
But
good confidence, though.
It is just another example of, well, okay, we can get all excited about a Kyle Williams catch yesterday on Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And it was an exciting play. Although you didn't like it so much, you thought it should have been a sack in real time.
But it was a good play.
It's just a reminder, though, that like Jalen Polk this time of year was also looking good, and now he's probably not even on the team.
Yeah, no, he's not. But I think everything about this year is already kind of elevated from last year. Like, you're kind of grading that on a curve because you're like, oh, he looked good. Like, with what, Jacoby Brissett? Like, you just went into it with such a – it was such a downer, really. It was year one post Belichick, so that was already annoying a lot of the fans. But then you're like, all right, where are they gonna be? And you looked at the talent across the board, you're like, this is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even starting Drake May right away. So you went in it was hard to have any kind of real enthusiasm for last season. And that has completely changed. And so I feel like even though Jalen Polk might have had his flashes last year, it still doesn't stand up to what anybody does well this year. People are going to be way more excited about it because there's actually some semblance of hope for the season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, everything feels like they're way ahead of where they were a year ago, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mike Vrabel, exactly. Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel's a veteran coach, even if you don't love the hire, which I didn't love at the time. I don't think it's the worst hire in the world, but I thought they could have gone higher end. Ben Johnson's a guy we both liked. So even if you didn't love the hire, we can all acknowledge at least he shows up and knows what he's doing, unlike the last guy.
Yeah.
So that is a big difference. But that's on Jalen Polk. I don't see anybody else reporting, besides me and Mark Daniels, that Carlton Davis isn't out there yet. So I'm just trying to double check. But I trust Daniels.
Yeah, I don't see him.
And his vision. I don't see Seven out there.
Good Jugs machine work going on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Peppers held on to that one, unlike yesterday.
Seven!
So I don't know. Is the Carlton Davis thing starting to be something to monitor? He's in, he's out, he wasn't at minicamp, he wasn't at OTAs.
Yeah, for sure.
Then he was at minicamp, then he was at day one of training camp, now he's not. I mean, they put a lot of money in this guy.
Yeah, not only that, I think we were going through the list of basically the top ten at each position, honorable mentions, all that stuff. And we're going through, like, who are the best players in the league, who are the best players on the team? And he was one of the names that got mentioned. So you could make the case that he is one of the five or six best players on the team. So, yeah, if he's not out there and you're just wondering why we don't really have a clear-cut answer, yeah. So, I mean, it's worth questioning. You're not freaking out. They don't play a game for over a month from now. And he's a veteran, so you feel like once he does get out there, like, I think he's going to be fine. But, yeah, what's going on there? That has to be one of the questions that going into camp maybe we didn't have, and then after one day kind of moves towards the top of the list.
Doug Hyde is also reporting with me and Mark Daniel.
Oh, so you three guys are
on this. Yeah, so the three of us are all reporting.
I mean, that's pretty locked in then.
That's a holy
trinity.
That's
multiple
right there.
Sources.
Yeah. It really is. So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. I do think Diggs is maybe the most interesting piece of this camp. And I'm admittedly going back and forth on Diggs, where, you know, it seems so long ago, Keith, but the stuff on the boat, you're like, man, what kind of teammate is this guy going to be? Is he going to be good for Drake May? Is he going to be good for the receivers in the room? Is he going to be good for the overall culture of the team? He has worn out his welcome everywhere he's been. No one, Houston didn't want him back last year. That's for a reason. They completely overturned their receiver room. They could have brought him back. So I do feel that way. At the same time, the guy has gotten himself into ridiculous shape coming off that injury. He's way ahead of where I thought he would be.
I think he's super motivated. I think he's really motivated about how nobody really wanted him this year. He even said it at his first press conference here in New England that, yeah, there were teams interested. Follow-up questions like, any visits? Well, no. So, like, really it was just the Patriots that were offering him anything. We found out what the number was for how much money he was getting, and then you find out like what the real number was, and you're like, okay, the market wasn't really there.
And remember, until he passed his physical, he didn't have a dime.
Yeah. You know, once again, going back to that list of the top 10 wide receivers, there was also as many as 25 receivers that got at least a vote. He wasn't one of them. So I think the whole league is kind of not expecting much out of Diggs, which has got to piss him off and motivate him, and that's great. Because I do think what you do get, at the very least with Diggs, is that honeymoon period. His first couple years with the Bills, he was one of the best receivers in the league.
Yep.
And then last year, he was trending towards a really solid season. I wouldn't say, you know,
vintage Diggs.
1,500 yards, right. First team All-Pro, but he was on pace for 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns or whatever, and on a decent team. And then obviously in Minnesota was the team that drafted him. By the end there, he was really good. So I think as long as he's healthy, you're going to be able to kind of count on some of those numbers. Now, how long it lasts, I have no idea. I wouldn't bet on it being a super long time. But for this season alone, I have pretty high expectations for him.
Well, and again, if for nothing else, it sounds like he's going to show guys how to work. Like, maybe you got to be concerned about him demanding the football and wanting his touches, and maybe you got to be concerned about him away from the field. But when he's here and he's putting in, I think it's pretty clear he's putting the work. Can he still play? And at what level can he play at? We don't know, but like, that's not a bad thing for a young receiver like Kyle Williams to feed off of. So
but this is also one of those things that you get into with most number one receivers, right? And you're like, all right, you know, when they brought in Randy Moss, for God's sake. Now that's super high end. That's one of the greatest receivers of all time. But there was some stuff, right? The way it ended with the Raiders, some of the off-field stuff, which I think may have been overblown, but whatever. Some of it was there. But you'll take them.
Yeah.
Right? There's also, like, a bunch of guys around the league, like A.J. Brown. Of course, everybody would take A.J. Brown. There's a whole bunch of different guys that you would say, I'll take. It's going to come with a little bit of a headache, but hopefully it's worth it on the field.
And to your point, you know, even McLaurin, who's, like, well-regarded as, like, the best teammate, is holding out.
Right, exactly. So there's always something with everybody.
Because I was about to say, yeah, but even on the receiver scale, this guy has bounced around quite a bit.
But how about, like, Tyreek Hill in Miami right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I think a lot of teams would want Tyreek Hill, but, like, Tua's talking about how they got to, like, repair the relationship.
Yeah, Tua's like, we're still working on our relationship. They've been playing together.
Like, dude, you guys have known each other a long time.
They've played together basically Tua's whole career.
Yeah. There's very few clear-cut number one receivers that have, like, no issues. Now, some of the issues might be you could blame the team, right? Like, last year at this time, Cincinnati wasn't paying Ja'Marr Chase. That was a Cincinnati issue, but it's still a receiver that is, you know, maybe missing camp or, you know, looking out for himself, which you don't really blame him for. But every single – I mean, almost every single top-end player is going to come with some kind of baggage. And so that's why I have no problem with it. Like, I think, would you rather just have, like, a bunch of, like, number three receivers that are just happy to be in the league? Or do you want to, like, take a chance with a guy that might be you gotta do some, you know – different kind of coaching. Like, if you're Mike Vrabel, you have, like, a different kind of issue, but the talent is worth it.
No, I would for sure rather have that. So Patriots going through some drills. We'll get into some team periods here coming up. in a little bit, live day two at Patriots training camp. We'll talk some Red Sox with Rob Bradford coming up at 11:30. We'll revisit some of what Sam Kennedy had to say this morning on the Greg Hill Show for his, the weekly front office report. He's on about every other week alternating with Craig Breslow, so we'll get to that coming up. Plus, we mentioned Carlton Davis absent today. How good can this defense be? And is it good enough to carry Drake May in year two if he can't meet some of the expectations? Let's get to that with all your phone calls next.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Kyle. I mean, he's backside one-on-one with Gonzo. He made a big-time catch, strong hands. I told him to maybe sell a little more, just try to, give him a go-route feel. But I think he's coming along. He's looking good. I told Gonzo that I'm going to come at Gonzo. I'm not going to, backside. I'm not going to, leave him out here bored at practice. So I'm good for, a rookie to make a play like that. And I think he's just going to get better and better.
Jones and Keith, live day two Patriots training camp, Gillette Stadium. Pats today, still unpadded practices. Just helmets, Keith? That's all we're seeing down there?
Yeah, just hats today.
No shoulder pads?
No.
What do they call those big helmets again? What's the name of those?
Oh, I don't know. Those are concussion-proof?
Yeah,
Guardians?
What is it again? Guardian.
Good
cap.
One, Bill.
Good amount of Guardian caps out there today.
Another drill, though. Steph Diggs leading the way for the receivers. So there's a big pile of receivers down here.
I was just going to point that out.
Yeah.
So is that backs as well? Like, I'm not sure. Is that all receivers? But, yeah, he was first up through the drills. I don't even know what to call this. They're running like a box.
I don't know. It's catching. Like with cones, and they catch, drop. So there's three different balls. You basically are running like around a square, but you catch a ball three different times. So it's kind of like close quarters, working on footwork and cutting. But, yeah, Diggs was the first one to show everybody how to do it. And, naked eye, he looks the best at it. he does it better than anybody else.
For sure. Yeah. I'm very biased eye up here.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I would definitely say that. So you heard Drake May yesterday complimenting Kyle Williams, the young receiver on the team. When we get into some team stuff, we can pass along how he looks. But he had a good day one. But as we highlighted earlier today, Jalen Polk was looking pretty good this time of year last year.
Yeah.
And now he's absent two straight days and already had an uphill battle to even make this club. So things can change quickly, but we'll pass along what we see here. We'll get to the Red Sox as well coming up. Again, Bradfo going to join us at 11:30, as he does every Thursday. Wild one for the Red Sox last night. We have a Kiefer Madness for you as well at 12:45, plus grab bag and clip du jour. All that good stuff coming up on Jones and Keefe. Real quick before we get to the Pats and their defense, Keefe.
Yes.
They'll have to face Justin Fields this year, we think. Twitch chat has been quite active on the Justin Fields story out of New York. The latest there, it was reported earlier today that Justin Fields, former quarterback of the Bears and Steelers, now with the Jets, was carted off at Jets training camp today with a lower leg injury. And you're like, oh, boy, that sounds like...
That sounds bad. It sounds like a season ender.
Yeah, Achilles or who knows? I mean, who knows what it is? Reading from Rap Sheet, he says that he left today after suffering a lower leg injury. He's dealing with a toe injury, according to Jets coach Aaron Glenn. Glenn indicated that, by the way, the play unfolded, he believes that someone stepped on Fields' foot.
So stepped on?
What seemed like potentially a major issue now,
like, he's done.
Now seems pretty minor.
He'd be back today.
You gotta get stepped on? You got to get carted off for getting cleated?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, that makes Paul Pierce look like a warrior for the NBA Finals. Or do you get stepped on? Don't guys get stepped on like every practice?
You have turf toe?
I had turf toe once, but I had like a mild. It was awful.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
I've heard you say that before. Because you're like, initially when you read toe injury, you're like, if it's turf toe, you're like, that's no joke.
It could knock him out for a long time. But if you just get stepped on, you have an owie, and you'll get back out there.
I would imagine you're back tomorrow is what I would think and hope for Justin
Well, what's
Fields.
Their backup plan? Who's the backup with the Jets?
I think it's Tyrod.
Oh, okay.
So not good.
No, but you might see him anyway.
Well,
you and I like Fields, but there's no reason for us to like Fields. He has not been a good NFL quarterback.
No. I've been pro Fields from the pre-draft process, stood by him all along, thought he was going to be good last year in Pittsburgh, still kind of think he's going to be good. but sooner or later, I'll learn from that mistake.
But they got worse at quarterback, right? As bad as Rodgers was.
Probably.
They probably got worse.
Yeah, they probably got worse. Yeah. That's fair.
They basically made a trade with Pittsburgh is what happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Patriots are going to face both Aaron Rodgers with Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And Justin Fields, assuming he can get over this hellacious cleating that he took at Jets practice. How good do you think the defense can be this year, Keith? And put another way, if Drake May doesn't exactly, and the offense doesn't hit the ground running to start the year, and I think they look good yesterday, day one of training camp, but let's see, maybe we're wrong on some of our projections and steps forward for the offense. Are they going to be good enough to win games, especially early in the year, on defense.
I do think it's possible. I think they should be a top 10 defense. I think you look at the coaches that they have, I mean, starting with Vrabel, but I think they should be a good defense. We'll figure out what this Carlton Davis situation is eventually. But if you have those two guys as your corners, I think if you get a bounce-back year from Peppers and Duggar, that's a good secondary. I think a lot of it is going to kind of hinge on Keon White, who sometimes looks like an absolute game wrecker. And then at other times, you know, you get teammates basically calling him out for freelancing. And it was like last year turned into a mess. And it was like,
yeah, our guy Godchild was not very pro Keon White.
Like, he definitely has it in him, but I don't know if it's consistent or you can rely on it. So I think on the front seven, they have a few guys that could go either way. Like, Keon White and Christian Barmore could have awesome seasons and be really good. Or not, right? Like, those, like, whereas, like, Milton Williams, I feel like, will be good. Robert Spillane, I feel like, will be good. Harold Landry, like, we'll see if he's got anything left in the tank. But all of that to be, like, I think the Patriots for years and years and years, and this was under Belichick, but even still, they would dominate the bad quarterbacks. They would dominate the teams that they should. I feel like this team has the personnel to easily do that. And then the question will be, all right, how do you stack up against Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and those guys? But for some of those bad teams and bad quarterbacks that they face early in the year, I think the defense is good enough to win, even if the offense doesn't light up the scoreboard.
Let's be charitable and say no big deal with Davis. He was out here yesterday. He's absent today. Let's say he's ready to go week one. Would you rather have a strong secondary or a strong front seven? Because I do think, at least at corner, they're strong. I think the safeties are fine.
If I had to pick, I guess probably the front seven.
Oh, interesting. See, I think I'd go the other way.
Yeah, but I think a dominant – I mean, I guess – so you look at the Eagles. I guess they kind of have everything.
Yeah, they drafted two nasty corners.
I know. They kind of do have everything. But I
famously hate Cooper DeJean, but a good player.
Well, because I feel like corner and elite edge rusher are both super important, right? And then you have, like, linebacker, D-tackle, safety are all kind of similar as far as, like, what you're prioritizing. But, like, what could make the other one better?
Right.
Like, if you have an insane pass rush, you don't need to cover as long.
Right, you can't cover forever, even if you have great corners. So
then the way the rules are, I think you might be better with that, I think, right? So you're arguing if you have, like, lockdown corners, it gives the pass rush more time to get to the ball. But then there's also the part of, like, you do need to stop the run. And not that, like, oh, stopping the run, like, oh, you smash mouth football. But that's important. You can't just give up big yards on the
ground. We saw last year against Jacksonville in London. They just churned out 5, 8, 10 yards whenever they wanted to.
Yeah. So I guess I'd land on that. You want them all working together, obviously. But give me the front seven. That's better.
I do have questions about their front seven. I think they're better than last year. They should be. You know, Milton Williams is a part-time player in Philly. You know, he's very productive when he played, but he was a part-time player. I mean, I don't know. What is Robert Spillane? I guess I'm curious to actually see that.
Machine.
I feel good, right? But is it, like, falling on top of the pile, or is he a playmaker? Like, I'm curious to see that.
Could he be, like, Mayo? Like, the player.
Yeah,
the player Mayo.
Yeah.
He'd be like that?
Yeah. Piling up tackles.
No, but it's an upgrade from what you had last year.
Yep.
You know, so, like, they could use somebody like that. And if the guys in front of them are even better, then he's going to look a lot better.
So I was just about to say, pretty much every time you hear a cheer, it's for Steph Diggs. But that last one was for Pop Douglas, a little one-handed catch.
Oh, there you go.
But in general, you're getting a nice crowd reaction every time Diggs is going through some of these individual drills. They're catching passes right now from non-quarterbacks.
Well,
quarterbacks are down at the other end of the field.
He's the guy the fans are most excited to see.
I think so, too.
I mean, Drake May's up there, obviously, but we saw Drake May last year. So out of all the guys on the roster, it's really not even close. Like, if we were to tier that, like, who the fans are interested in seeing or, like, what jersey's going to be bought, it's Diggs and May, and then there's a huge Gonzalez, and then a big gap after that.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, in terms of the newcomers, he's the one to get most excited.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. It's how you climb aboard on Jones and Keefe. You hear that?
Dive
Keefe?
Right in.
Cross myself up. So you can talk to us there on the phones and on the text line. We got Bradfo at 11:30. We have a Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. And when we come back, let's get to the Red Sox. Wild one.
Wow.
Much needed one last night in Philadelphia. Does it change their approach at the trade deadline? We'll get to all of it coming up next.